Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Once you get it at room temperature, then you cook it on something hot, a hot grill, a hot pan, so you can sear the juices in. And then when you get done cooking it, you always leave it out and let it rest.
Today's guest is Ralph Smith. Ralph is the head of the meat department at the Arcata Co-op. Ralph, how did you get started in the industry, in the meat industry?
Well, I started in the industry probably about 25 years ago, and I started very much at the bottom. I was unloading carcass beef out of a semi-truck onto rail system, so I physically had to pick up 200 to 250 quarters every day.
Oh, just my gosh.
Off the floor to put them on the rail system.
Oh, my gosh. How much do they weigh?
It just depends on what kind of carcass comes in, but generally you're going to get 200 pounds, 250.
Whoa.
Yes.
Well, that was a good workout.
Oh, very much so.
And then what other jobs did you hold along the way in the food industry?
Once I did that, the guy that worked in the cooler to receive the meat and started to prep moved to the cutting floor, and I asked for his job, and they gave it to me.
Okay, so you kept moving up the line along with the meat that you were carving up.
Absolutely. I went from the first stage to the second stage, which is getting ready to prep it.
What did you wear when you did this? I imagine you wore something pretty protective because you were doing some big cutting.
In the cooler, it's a little bit different. So I really only had a smock and arm guard, plastic arm guard, and mesh glove. So you put the mesh glove on your offhand, which is my left hand, and I use the knife on my right hand.
And then what sorts of classes or certification did you take along the way to hone your skills?
Initially, I didn't. As I continued to work in the industry, the next process would be the lifters. And the lifters are lifting the meat and taking it to the breaking table where the breakers are breaking it. So I went from the truck to the cooler to lifting to breaking and then to boning, where you bone all the meat, and then I began to supervise. So I had a crew of like 46, had three boning lines, and then one line where we just did processed stew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And now you're at the Arcata Co-op. It's got to be really different for you.
Yeah. It's very different. I mean, from the road that I've taken in the meat industry has been very different.
What is the co-op, what is their philosophy about some of the meats that they carry in their cooler case? I mean, I know that I've seen some things seem like they're locally produced or organic or free range and that sort of thing. Is it different, do you think?
This is very different for me because I had never been in this industry that had organic meat or free range beef or anything like that. We always worked off commercial stuff like IBP, well, that's the biggest one. That's a grain-finished beef, which is very much different from what we have here. Ours is, it's only grass-fed. That's all we sell. We don't sell anything else as far as beef goes.
We've got great grass up here.
And you got great beef up here. And I've met some of the ranchers that are up here because I went to the Cattlemen's Association function. So I got to meet a lot of the ranchers up here too. So very interesting. This place has been a great experience for me in this type of meat.
So are you involved also with what kind of goes on in the shellfish and the fish cases and that sort of thing?
Yes. Between me and my staff, we'll order the seafood. And I get most of our seafood from Pacific Seafood.
Oh, okay.
So, and we always try to get local things.
Try and hook up with some of the local fishermen and make sure you get that local stuff.
Yes.
That's great. Now, where are your items cured and smoked if you're going to have something that's cured and smoked? Is it, where does that come from?
Okay, generally on our cured and smoked meats, that would be from Premier Meats.
Oh, okay.
And they're in Redding. I understand at one time they were really local.
Right. I think McKinleyville, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but now they're in Redding, and that's who I've dealt with thus far. So,
celebrity chefs are always saying, get to know your butcher. If you know your butcher, you know he'll pick out the special this or that for you. What's that been like for you? Do you have people who are kind of your customers, and they'll ask you what's good or if you can do something special for them?
I would say yes. I'm just beginning to establish my customer base. My staff or my guys have their customers already, but I'm just beginning to find my way, so to speak. So it's slow, but your customer base has to trust what you tell them. If I tell you to buy that, you buy it.
Uh-huh.
No question.
Yeah. And they might just even come to you. They don't even know what they're going to cook for dinner, but they might say, hey, do you have anything special in today? And can you pick out a little special something for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always try to pick out the special one because even though we're cutting, like, say we take a pork loin and we cut the pork loin, we have boneless pork chops. But some of the pork chops are better because they have the sirloin on them.
Ah, okay.
So they'll say, can I have some boneless pork chops? I say, yeah, I'll give you the ones with the sirloin because they're more tender, more tasty. So
you're helping to educate people because I think a lot of time people, maybe they don't make that type of meat a lot. They don't cook that a lot. So it's great to have that insight from somebody. I wouldn't even know to ask that.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. I always try to give all our customers, I call it Meat 101. Because most people that come to buy meat really don't know what they want. And they truly don't. One lady says, can you tell me something that I can make? I'm a terrible cook.
Good luck with that.
I'm a terrible cook. What can I cook? I said, whatever you cook, make sure you wrap bacon on it.
Oh.
Because if you put bacon on it, it's going to work. I actually sold her a filet. And I told her, sear this on both sides. And make sure you put this bacon on it and then cook it a little bit more because she didn't like rare meat. So she liked it medium. So I said, make sure you put this bacon on it, wrap it up, put it in the oven and cook it. I said, they'll love it. And when she came back, she says, that worked out great. What else can you show me?
Just piece by piece, you're expanding her experience of what it is she's comfortable cooking.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But bacon always works.
Yes. Love that bacon. What sort of special services do you offer in the butcher shop? I know my experience has been butchers are always very excited when I ask them to do something for me that's kind of special, like grind a cut of meat. Or one of the things I've done is have a frozen turkey sliced in half and then been able to cook it in two separate times.
Right.
What other sorts of things do people ask you to do that are kind of special like that?
We do have customers that require special needs. Generally, they'll ask us ahead of time. Like they'll want something special. They'll say like racks of lamb. We're just starting to get lamb in a little bit more regular, but before it wasn't because it wasn't the time.
The season,
it.
Yeah.
And our lambs are local, so. They'll make an order with us. We'll put their order in. And then when we get their product, we'll just call them up and tell them to come and get it. So it works well like that. I have one customer that tells me, I'd like two boneless, skinless, organic chicken thighs. Can you please dice them for me? So, sure. A full service meat counter does anything. I mean, if the lady wants a brisket and we don't have any in the counter and there's a four quarter in the cooler, we tell them, you have any more shopping to do? And if they do, we tell them, come back and we'll have it for you.
Oh, nice.
So it's all full service. If we can give it to you, we're going to provide it to you. If we can get it to you that day, then we'll let you know. If we can't, then we'll tell you, take the order and come back tomorrow.
Now, what would be your favorite cut of meat and how would you prepare it?
My favorite cut is the porterhouse steak. And I like it about 5 pounds. No. Probably at least 32 ounces. And I eat all my beef rare. So I just sear it on one side and on another side, let it rest about 10 minutes and it would be gone.
Okay. Now, you said something interesting, let it rest. Another thing that I think people don't realize is taking it out of the refrigerator a little bit of time before they actually cook it.
Yes. When you're dealing with your meat, it's generally better to get it at a room temperature. Once you get it at room temperature, then you cook it on something hot, a hot grill, a hot pan, so you can sear the juices in. And then when you get done cooking it, you always leave it out and let it rest. That makes the juices absorb back into the tissues. So that way, when you cut it, all your juice doesn't run out.
Okay. I'm like all salivating here now. It's sounding good, that porterhouse steak. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been speaking with Ralph Smith, head of the meat department at the Arcata Co-op. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and I forgot to do it.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org.
This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.